Welcome everybody to another day of the TeleSummit. It's about how you live, taking the fear out of conversations about advanced care planning, serious illness, and end-of-life care. And we are so fortunate to have a wonderful woman with us today named Mary Horst. And welcome, Mary.
Thank you so much, Tina. It's so good to be here.
Oh, we are thrilled that you're here. Now, Mary is actually here representing Dr. Sue Morton. You're going to learn a lot about what Dr. Sue's work is about, and then you're going to also learn a little bit about what Mary does as well. So before we get started, I want to read a little bit of a bio so you'll know all about Mary and Dr. Sue's work. So Mary is an advanced facilitator of Dr. Sue Morton's Energy Codes work. In addition, Mary is licensed both as a psychotherapist and life coach. She began her training in the Energy Codes embodiment practices with Dr. Sue Morton 5.5 years ago. Additionally, she became certified yoga instructor 2 years ago as part of her energetic transformation from a mental body approach employed as a psychotherapist with its focus on figuring out solutions to problems into a more holistic embracing of well-being. Mary teaches 2 community yoga classes weekly to adults choosing to flourish and live vibrantly. So nice to have you. So nice to have you. So I know Dr. Sue Morton is well known in a lot of circles, but not every circle. And we've got a lot. We have thousands of viewers watching this. So I guess I really just kind of want to start with you kind of giving everybody a better understanding of what Energy Codes work is and how Dr. Morton teaches it and just what that whole practice is about.
Great. It's a set of principles and practices that help any individual to embody the fullest of who they are, to embody their magnificence.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And is it a string of classes? Is it things you do online? Do you go to workshops?
Actually, all of that. There are a lot of options. Right now, she's doing a shift network series where it's 7 modules and individuals. Does that sound?
Yeah, a little bit of feedback. I'm good on my end, but you may, your volume may be up too high or something, but I'm good on my end.
Okay, good. Okay. So there are practices that you can do online, as I said, through the Shift Network. There's also videos that you can purchase through Dr. Sue called the Body Awake series. You can attend workshops. There are retreats. There's a whole variety. And then also on her website, Dr. Sue's website, there are a lot of video options.
Okay. And so since you mentioned that, the Dr. Sue website is simply drsue.com, correct?
Dr. Sue Morton.com,
M-O-R-T-E-R. And there'll be a link that goes along with this video that everybody will be able to click on. So because this TeleSummit is about taking the fear out of conversations about end-of-life care, serious illness, caregiving, grieving, you know, that whole range of topics. I guess what I'd love to do is, can you please explain the Energy Codes practice and how it might apply to end-of-life issues?
Yes, that's a great question. I think that, we have this idea of there's life and then there's end-of-life, and yet it's a continuum. From being well to maybe coming into issues of illness and then moving on to life issues. And I love the title of your summit because it's about how you live.
It is.
And, you know, Dr. Sue, I would talk about that there is this transition that one goes through before dying, before leaving. That is one that you want to do with optimism, with hope, with fullness. And Dr. Sue teaches these practices. One of them is breath work. And her belief is that we are the breath. We are that's the energy in our bodies. And that if we continue to embody our body, if we're in our physical body and we're breathing and living not just from the mental body of worry, like you use the word fear, it's if we can shift that into we are this flow. Even if we're dead and leaving, dying, moving on to the next transition, keeping that focus of our energy being a flowing energy, then the transition will be much more smooth, more beautiful, more hopeful, more optimistic, rather than one of fear.
Wonderful. One of the experts in the TeleSummit, D.S. Moss, did a whole podcast series about remembering to living your life better and remembering to die so that you can live your life better. One of the interviews that he did was with a woman who was interviewing people that were at the end of life. They were all in hospice care. And one of them was just heartbreaking because this gentleman, who really was like weeks away from dying, was scared to death. In fact, not only was he scared to death, he really was denying that he was dying. He could not accept the fact that he was dying. And listening to that interview, and I mean, this was this woman interviewing that man. I mean, you heard his voice, you hear his story. It was just heartbreaking. And I so wish he could have, you know, somehow been able to successfully do what Dr. Sue and you were teaching people how to do, because that was a really hard thing to hear.
And that's kind of a grasping energy, the fear of and pushing back from what's happening rather than allowing ourselves to embrace. Because in Dr. Sue's work, it would just be, it's all energy. You know, she comes from quantum physics, that everything is energy. And that even though our physical body may die, that we move into a transition into another form of energy. And so if a person can accept that and say, you know, and have others around them that circle them with the belief that there is a reason for dying, and that we move on.
Right. Now, so two things. I work with a Native American woman who she says, she calls this our earth robe. You know, this is our earth robe that we wear on this earth while we're, you know, here experiencing what we're experiencing here. And then we died. We don't need that earth robe anymore. And you transition to the next thing. What do you say to people that really have a hard time believing, well, when you die, you die. And there is no transition to the next thing.
Well, and I think that that word about belief, it's what we hold on to, and also what we've been taught. It's a belief system that we've developed or been given. And then the invitation is there another possibility? And rather than clinging to that, inviting in another possibility, that energy does shift and change. And that the earth robe, as you called it, the physical body, is just something that we carry while we're walking this earth. And Dr. Sue would talk about, you know, it's the physical body that's the third dimension of us. And that, you know, we have this energy that we are when we're on the earth. But then eventually, you know, we move into other levels of energy. So, you know, full embodiment, even when we're walking on the earth plane, is embodying much more of the energy that we are beyond just our physical body.
Right, right, exactly. And since you did mention the it's about how you live, that's the whole message here. Let me just do this camera. Does everybody see on my back that wall above the lamp? There's the, that's actually the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization's ribbon. And it says, it's about how you live. Which is where the website name came from, where the whole, I mean, our hospice providers will tell you, we're not helping people die. We're helping people live until they die. So hospice care is about how you live. And so many of our experts in this amazing TeleSummit, I think a real common thread has been, you know, embrace the moment, be present, get in touch with that energy that you're talking about, and just don't waste time not appreciating what's going on right now.
I was thinking about, this is where the real true value of Dr. Sue's work is, because she's inviting in this, what you're just talking about, of how can we live fully? How can we live magnificently? How can we live beyond the mental body of what we're thinking about, our worries, our fears, our concerns, and trust that we're bigger than that. Trust that we are more than just the physical body.
Right. And so in these topics, that's really hard for a lot of people to do if you're in the middle of a crisis, a health crisis, whether with your own health or a loved one, or it's you've lost someone and you're in the depths of grieving. And so I think her work is amazing because in all that difficulty and challenge and sadness, there's hope to learn to deal with it and live with it and it not take you to a horrible place that you can't come back from.
Well, and Dr. Sue would say, no matter what our obstacles are in our life, you know, that's part of the reason we're here, and that any situation, no matter what it's been, whether it was from childhood or whether it's happening today, that every one of those is an invitation to grow and expand and move beyond what looks like struggle. If we can begin to embrace the struggle and move through it energetically, that it will that we will expand as a human being.
Right, right. That's wonderful. Let me see. So specifically, how can daily breath work and movement practices enhance one's life energy and flow?
So a lot of, you know, Dr. Sue will talk about pain, pain body, just being stuck energy. And so if we're, if our life is just about what we're doing, whether we go to work and we're living in our relationships and those kinds of things, we limit ourselves. And so if we begin to breathe and move, you know, not just exercise like going to the gym, but begin to embody the body through the breath work, and we start to bring our breath fully down. You know, when people breathe, most of the time they're just breathing from their chest. Mm-hmm. And that's a fight flight response. If we begin to breathe all the way down through the core and bring that energy in, then we begin to, it brings in a peacefulness, a relaxation, a level of embodiment that maybe we haven't lived from before. And movement gets the body out. It gets us the energy, you know. Oftentimes, I'm a psychotherapist, so oftentimes people will come in with depression. They're not moving at all. They just lay on the couch. And so actually getting out, I mean, that's one of the best interventions, is to say, you know, start to work, walk. It may be 5 minutes, it may be 10 minutes, but begin to walk and move, and you're going to bring an energy into your body that's actually going to lift some of that, the mood, the depression, the sadness.
And I would also think just being out in nature is a very healthy, healing kind of a environment, right?
For sure.
Yeah. So are there examples of breathing techniques or, and also I kind of actually wanted to back up a little bit. So for people that aren't into this kind of thing, because again, we got thousands of people watching this. Maybe there's somebody out there that doesn't even understand what flow means. Can you kind of help them understand what that is?
Sure. Flow is, you know, Michael Csikszentmihalyi wrote a book called Flow. And flow is when we get out of ourselves. We kind of lose our sense of time. We're so engaged in an activity that we lose our sense of self, lose our sense of time. And we get into this kind of a flow, the flow of energy. So to be in flow is to not be focused inward on our problems like this, but actually it's kind of like being one with the music of life. So I had mentioned this morning that my husband and I walk 2 miles every morning. We get out, we walk, we live in Santa Fe, it's beautiful. And just leaving the house, getting off the couch, getting out into nature, then that's kind of a flow experience. That's an example of a flow experience. Or if you're an artist and you're painting, or you're someone who's writing and you look up and you think, oh my God, didn't know that I've been here for, you know, 30 minutes or an hour or 2 hours.
Right.
That's flow.
Right. And then on the other side of that, which I think is what you're hoping people get away from, is when you're driving the car and then you get where you're going and you don't remember the drive. Is that an example?
Like how that's very different than flow. Yeah. That's very different from flow, because flow, that would be you just are so obsessed with what you're thinking about or what's going on that your mind just goes blank. Flow is different. It's like you're dancing with life and you're in that, like, you think about the wave, you're in the wave of life and moving.
And experiencing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. And you're feeling enriched by life.
Right. 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 Awesome. Okay. So let's see. What about if a person is confined to a wheelchair or a bed? What modifications might be used or recommended when using the breath work and movement suggestions?
Yeah, that's such a great question because, you know, sometimes we think if a person's in a wheelchair, if anyone's in a wheelchair or a bed, they're confined. And so as a result, you know, life just happens to them. However, the breath work that Dr. Sue teaches can be done when you're lying down. It can be done sitting up. She even has a video of yoga, chair yoga, where a person can begin to do very simple movements to get the energy flowing throughout the body. And the breath work too. If you're lying down and you're moving, you were asking earlier about an example. There's a breath called the central channel breath where you breathe from above and breathe all the way down through the tip of the spine into the earth, moving in your body, and then up from the earth and out up again through the crown. And when I'm teaching yoga, this is something that, you know, that I work with. But a person can do breath work lying down rather than, you know, being in that state of worry. As if we begin to worry, if we begin to breathe, if one begins to breathe, it's going to take the energy from here all the way. And you want to think about that energy as being who you are from source. So those are examples.
Source. So what is from source?
Source.
From source, right?
Yeah.
So what does source mean?
Well, source means different things to different people. In the quantum physics, they talk about there's this unified field that we all experience and that we're a part of that. So for some, it could be God. For some, it might be the universal source. There are also many names, but it's just that which we are in our fullness, beyond just the little small self. It's the self with the big S.
Right, right. Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. So how can a caregiver, because we have, the viewers are going to be a mix of medical professionals, as well as just, you know, everybody, just average people like us. And a lot of them are going to be caregivers listening to this series. So how can a caregiver adapt the energy code's practices as a way to extend his or her ability to remain over time in this really often challenging role for a loved one?
In my early years as a social worker, I worked with the New Orleans AIDS Project. And so I was a case manager. And I went into homes of individuals who were in hospice and dying from AIDS. And I was able to see how deeply the caregivers were affected by long-term caregivers. And in that time, this was in the 80s, at that time, you know, there was very limited care in terms of people were sort of pushing their family members out. And so for me, it was, so how the challenge is, how does one who is caregiving another in that stage of dying and transitioning, how does one take care of themselves? Mm-hmm. I've actually read research where oftentimes the caregiver passes before the individual that is ill.
Well, because of in hospice, I can tell you that's exactly right.
Isn't it true?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon, particularly for elderly couples.
So the idea is, okay, I need to care for myself as a caregiver as much as the individual, my loved one. Mm-hmm. And so the question becomes, okay, how do I do that? And if one is involved in the breath work and movement and focus on their full self rather than only identifying themselves as the role of the caregiver, then they bring their energy back on themselves and they're doing their own self care, self-love, and these practices, if they're embodied, they're able to sit back and not be so empathetic that they're drawn towards the person and they lose their sense of themselves. Right. So I highly recommend the energy codes work, not only for the person who's ill, but also for the caregiver.
Right. And then for that busy caregiver that's juggling 10,000 things, a job, caring for the loved one, possibly kids or other responsibilities, like how do you suggest they make time? Because they have to make time to do this, right? So what are your recommendations for them when they feel like, I don't have time to do that?
That's a great question. And that's something that Dr. Sue talks to all of her students about learn the practices so when the rubber meets the road and when you're in these times of stress that you can use them and you fall back on them. So for me, I do breath work throughout the day. And when I get up in the morning, I might do some of my energy codes work, but it's become something that I've learned to do, and it doesn't have to take, you know, a whole half an hour. I can just do it throughout the day. And I'm going to talk about myself. If I find myself where I'm kind of out of my body and I'm just in go mode and I'm on high speed, then I say, okay, Mary, pull it back. Pull it back and slow down. Practice your breath work, and then, you know, and then come back. Go back to doing what you're doing. So it doesn't have to be a designated time. It can be a practice that a person integrates throughout their day.
And my guess is a good trigger would be when you're feeling particularly stressed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your clue to say, hold on a minute.
Well, and one of the things I've learned, particularly in life coaching, is that negative cues, they call them noxious cues, those things that where we start to leave our body, they can become a moment, like a red light, for example, or a fire engine sound can be moments to pull ourselves back in, to be in the moment, to stop and to breathe. So those are kinds of things. And a person can develop their own, you know.
Develop their own
cue.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. So when I start to feel a little pressure in my head, like my blood pressure is going up a little bit, or if I'm somebody that I forgot to eat because I was so busy doing this and that, and then all of a sudden I realize, oh my gosh, I never even had lunch today, you know, whatever that is that speaks to you, that says, you know. And to your point, it's not a 30-minute issue. I mean, it could be something done in a few minutes, right? Wonderful. So we're going to wrap up here in just a little bit. We've got about maybe 10 more minutes. Can you give us a little background on how Dr. Sue even got into this? Like what started her on this journey?
That's a great question too, because Dr. Sue's father was Dr. Sue is a chiropractor, as was her father and are her two brothers. So she will tell the story of how she grew up in this family where the energy, bioenergetics was the conversation at the table. Dr. Sue herself has never gone to a medical doctor. She herself, I know, she'll tell this story. She's never taken an antibiotic. She has used this bioenergetics and clearing of energy from, you know, subconscious memories. That's her technique called best release or bioenergetic synchronization technique. But her dad is the one who started this.
So and with him, he didn't go to a medical doctor?
Well, I don't know. And he's deceased now, so I'm not sure about, because I don't know him and I didn't know him. Uh-huh. But he started this technique. And so Dr. Sue, she herself started to go into meditation, actually, and learning about meditation, trying to make sense of, you know, this whole energy thing, and had this experience herself of feeling that she was more than her physical body.
Oh,
wow. In a meditation experience. And so it's sort of, she had been practicing the medical model, she had been practicing in a way that she was a kind of a fast driver. She was very successful. And then she had this experience which sort of rocked her world.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a result, she sort of moved away and began this body of work called the energy codes. And she laughed. She says, you know, I just started out with the energy codes 1, and then it became energy codes 2, and then 3, and then 4. And now she's very focused on integrating yoga into her body of work. Mm-hmm. But she teaches all over the world.
Yeah.
And she doesn't stop. When we talked about source earlier, she taps into the source energy that is beyond her. And so she has this sort of an energy that just keeps going.
Well, and again, to our viewers, because like Mary just said, Dr. Sue is so busy, she wasn't able to be with us for the telesummit, which is why I'm thrilled that she recommended Mary represent her and her work. So thank you for doing that. And then the next question I want to ask is, so she's doing all this, how did you stumble upon her and her work 5.5 years ago?
Well, and I had mentioned this to you, Tina, before, that a telesummit just like this.
You did tell me that offline. That's right.
I had never heard of Dr. Sue, and when I was listening to this teleseminar, it wasn't even you weren't seeing the person, and I just heard her and the energy in her voice, and it was the last. There were 10 presentations. She was the last, and afterwards, I told my husband, I said, I don't know who this woman is, but I want to meet her, and she was giving away 2 tickets to a free one day, and we went, and that was 5.5 years ago, and I can tell you that every time I am in an experience with her, whether it's a phone call, a teleseminar, in person, there's something about what she's teaching that has created more fullness in who I am as an individual.
That's wonderful. What did you have to do to be an advanced facilitator for her work? What was required? Was there some sort of coursework you had to do, or...
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because she's in the middle of writing a book that will be published next year in 2018 on the energy codes. And she began to see, she's one human being, and she was getting more and more individuals who are coming to her work. And so she said, you know, I need to train other facilitators. So back in, I think, 2015, she started an invitation to the people who are taking her coursework to go into facilitation, those that were interested. And so I think I've gone to 3 of the workshops of how to train to be a facilitator. And I love it.
I bet. I'm really excited that you reminded me that you stumbled upon her through a telesummit, because who knows how many viewers might stumble upon her because of this interview and wind up being a facilitator like you. Who knows? Well, before we wrap things up, I am extremely excited to tell the viewers that Dr. Sue is offering them a free gift. And I'm going to let you describe what this is. It's called the Fear into Fire.
Well, and that's the topic of this whole teleseminar that you're doing, Telesummit, is regarding fear and how to shift that. So this is an MP3 download that anyone can get. And then it talks about how we move from that fear and the energy of fear into fire, and how we can bring our passion, even within the experience of fear, that it can be an invitation to move beyond where we're stuck in our fear.
So does fire represent whatever that issue is you're afraid of?
Right. And fire is our passion. So if we're afraid of dying, or we're afraid of not having enough money, or that we'll never have a spouse or partner, whatever, that can be the catalyst, that fear. We can begin to kind of figure out where in our body that is, and then begin to energize it with passion, which is fire.
And then conquer it.
Yeah. Well, and conquer it, or just let it inflame, and, you know, like a firewood, and goes away,
right?
Over time,
right? It doesn't stop you from moving forward as it did in the past, right? That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, I have to tell you, this has been amazing. She should be so proud of people like you who are representing her so beautifully. I can just tell she has completely passed on her passion about this to you. And before we go, I would love you to tell us a little bit more about the other things that you do, Mary Horst.
Okay, great. I am a psychotherapist, and I have been a psychotherapist for 20-something years. And then I stumbled upon, just like Dr. Sue, life coaching. And I am, my area of interest is around couples and positive pairing. And it, when those of you who want to go to my website, you'll see that that's kind of love's one wave and positive pairing, coming together as couples using this positive energy and magnificence in one another. So, and then I teach yoga. I love teaching yoga twice a week.
Wonderful. And I am going to give the viewers both Dr. Sue Morton's web address as well as Mary Horse, so they'll be able to get in touch with both of you for sure. Are there any parting last kind of wrap up suggestions or advice or just words of wisdom you want to share with the viewers before we wrap up?
Yeah, I do. There is the possibility, there is the hope that we can change and that we can reverse wherever we are in our lives. If we begin to embrace any situation, any challenge, and invite in that there's something, some kernel of truth, some light that we can bring into that situation that's going to change us.
Wonderful. That's a beautiful note to end on. Thank you so much for the work you do. Please pass on to our thanks to Dr. Sue for all the wonderful work she does. And I really do hope all viewers that have heard this will consider what you are fearful of, and definitely go to both of these ladies' websites and start to incorporate some of their practices. See if they work for you, but obviously definitely take advantage of this free gift that Dr. Sue is offering everybody. So this has been great, Mary. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tina. I appreciate the invitation.
Absolutely. It's my honor. Truly my honor.
Thank you. Mine too.